Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from the mothership, Black Diamond Mothership, in a beautiful green field in the middle of the mitten, filled with nutrients. It's a beautiful field with my handsome, talented co-host, producer, manager, everything, Craig Russell from the Morning Hustle. Craig, welcome back.
Hey, the show is awesome, man. It's a beautiful day. I love this green field. Love it, love it, love it.
Love being in the middle of the mitten, broadcasting. Oh, yeah. And for those who live around the world, out of state, if you look at the United States, Michigan is a mitten.
That's correct.
With the Upper Peninsula being a great state of Superior because we're broadcasting across the bridge.
We are broadcasting everywhere. We're on the air everywhere.
Can I just say one thing?
What's that?
I'm driving down 127 coming back from Roscommon Court with my GoPro.
Okay.
Listening to Tammy Thompson.
All right.
I always listen to Tammy as I listen to you, Steve-O, everybody. Waiting for this great eclipse to take place.
The Great American Eclipse, correct.
Great American Eclipse. I'm driving south. I get past Claire. It's about 221. Never saw it happen.
Okay.
Did you?
I did. But you didn't see it because we weren't close enough to it. You didn't see it without the glasses. We had the glasses. And you could see it in the glasses, but you couldn't see anything. It just looked like it was getting kind of cloudy out.
I didn't want to see it. I just wanted the sky to go dark.
I thought that would be crazy. It did in places where we were,
Oregon.
Where you were right in the middle of it. That's where it went dark. Places like Michigan, it just looked like it kind of got a little cloudy.
2024 is coming back.
That's right. And yeah. We will be much closer to it. It's going to come through Texas and come up. Toledo, Ohio is going to be about as close as we're going to be able to get to it. So we're going to be much closer to it than this time.
I've got to check out the GoPro footage. I haven't even looked at it yet to see if, in fact, it did get darker and then brighten up again.
Do you often wear the GoPro on you, on your chest like
I
that?
Do not, but I once again, I had a bike race the previous week.
Oh.
Glacial Hills Challenge.
Oh, okay.
Up in Bel Air.
Oh, okay. Beautiful.
Shorts Brewery is up there.
Beautiful area.
Oh,
beautiful.
Great place. Shorts
Lake, the whole nine yards.
Oh, yeah. So it was a great race.
Perfect.
With Big Hair was there.
Right.
Wheeler was there. Wheels, Malpe. Great race. Kyle,
all
great people.
All these people.
Yeah, now, Bob.
Did you stop anywhere, Roscommon County?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
At the Beacon and Bridge right off of 127.
Oh, the gas
in Holton
station.
Lake.
Yeah, the gas station right there. Okay.
Big shout out, by the way, to Rhonda, Paula, and Sam.
Okay.
The ladies who run the Beacon and Bridge right off of 127 in Holton Lake, they do a great job.
Right.
Now, you know how you're on an airplane and you meet somebody and you say, hey, you know, after like 2 hours of talking to somebody, let's get together, give me a call.
Sure.
I'm the kind of guy that says, no, not happening.
It's not
okay. I've got, you know, because we have our group of friends, we have our group of people, we have our daily lives.
Sure.
We don't really have a lot of time for new people in our lives.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm just saying. So getting back to the gas station story.
Okay.
I'm in the gas station and talking to Rhonda and she listens to the show.
Right.
And then Paula and Sam, and I said, Paul, you should tune into the show. And she goes, well, you know, it's what time is it at? And I go, and then I just interrupted her, and she so nicely, I said, I go, you know what? Don't even listen.
because I don't want to ask somebody to listen and then and put them in a position where they have to say they're going to listen when they're really not going to listen. Yeah, it's like the airplane ride.
She's hoping she'll never see you again. Yeah, that's what she's really hoping.
That's a great day. Those ladies do a great job up there.
All right. Sam a lady too, or Sam a guy?
Sam's a lady. Oh, Samantha, okay. Yeah. Okay, Paul Samantha. And Rhonda,
got
yeah.
It. Right.
Hey, by the way, we have a huge show today.
Huge.
No, huge. This is our back to college show for all the parents, grandparents, for the kids. This is our we're going to talk about all of the landmines and all these misdemeanors, what you should and should not do in the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
If you are somebody, you're listening to the show and your student unfortunately got arrested this weekend, well, I mean, you can always call my office.
Sure.
Because I represent a lot of college students.
That's right. Being in a college town.
Being in a college town. Exactly. I go down to MSU. I even go all the way up to Michigan Tech, Northern Michigan.
Lake State.
Great college. Yeah. So we're going to be talking. We have three segments full of information.
Now, I'll tell you another thing, too, and this also applies. They just opened up a new dorm. First dorm they've opened up in 40 years at NMC in Traverse City.
I saw that.
So if you're hearing this on 95.5 or Rock 105 out of Sheboygan or Traverse City, this applies to you, too. Because that dorm, a bunch of kids moved into that dorm this weekend as well. So just know that.
Big shout out to Jake Triban.
Who's that?
Jake is family.
Okay.
So I want to give a big shout out to the Tribans up there and congratulate Jake. Great family up there.
Sure.
Up in Sheboygan.
Oh, okay.
So one of the best families. I've been around for a long time. Love Jake. Danny, wanted to say hi to the entire family up there. Hey, I got a complaint.
Okay.
We got a lot of law to get to, but I have a complaint.
All right.
I got an IRS envelope. Last week.
Ooh, does that make your colon just clench right up when you see something from the IRS?
Well, I always pay my taxes.
Sure.
And I don't owe any. I can go on a record right now. I have nothing to hide. I don't owe any taxes, either federal or state.
Okay.
I just pay my taxes.
Right.
A lot of taxes. I got a tax bill here.
Okay.
You ready for this?
All right.
How much does that say, Craig?
It says $432.92.
Exactly. It says you owe this payment, Todd, because one or more members of your tax household did not have health coverage in 2016. If they're talking about my cat goes to the vet. If they're talking about my dogs, they're always covered.
What's your cat and dog's name?
I'm not going to tell you my cat and dog name.
I know you're not.
But I'm always covered because I pay $850 a month for my health insurance. So the fact that I got an Obamacare bill saying that I owe money, listen, I'm not kidding you, $850 a month just for myself for health insurance. That's how high my premiums are. The same health insurance used to be about $250. So when you see people on TV that and health insurance needs to be fixed, I'm living proof of it.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't have anybody. Who are we talking about? Who are they talking about?
See,
so I'm going to have my accountant
figure it out.
Send him a letter.
That's right.
Just clear it up.
That's right.
You know what my father used to say?
What did your father used to say?
You know what my father used to say to me?
What was that?
Absolutely nothing because he left when I was one and died when I was 18.
I'm sorry.
So I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
You know what my father used to say?
Absolutely nothing.
No idea.
Zero.
Yeah, but being a father myself, this is outrageous.
I mean, the amount we pay. And then the other side of that is the insurance companies. You know, you see commercials, insurance companies. You ever watch any sporting events? You're watching sporting events on TV? You ever watching it? You, personally? Sure. Yeah.
Always.
Okay.
I'm always tuned in.
You know, when you watch a football game and they have the State Farm Player of the Game or they have the All-State Good Hands Award, you know how those insurance companies are able to pay for that kind of stuff? Because they are passing along the premiums to you and me and everybody else.
Unbelievable.
That they're making so much money nowadays, they can't spend it quick enough on sponsoring crap like that.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. As my father used to say, nothing.
That's actually not a bad line.
What's that?
When you want to just say nothing because you feel you shouldn't say anything because it's a compromising situation.
Yeah, let me tell you what my father used to tell me.
Nothing. That's
and
what
by
I
the way, before we go to break,
okay.
As you know, my sister and I grew up with our father just leaving when she was three, I was one.
Okay.
So we were those kids.
Right.
And there's a lot of young people out there. There's people who grew up in the same circumstances.
Yep.
But there's a lot of people out there listening who are parents. Who are those parents?
Okay.
And I'm not criticizing them, but let me tell you something. As someone in my 50s, you're still that kid. You're still wondering and looking back when you're a kid, like, where was my father on my birthdays? I was a football player. I played baseball. I wrestled, track, football. Never there. I mean, he was gone. Never a lick of child support for my mother, you know, just fleeing the friend of the court, you know, in those days, you know, just no. But here's the thing. He was the guy here. Let me tell you who my father was. He was the guy who took care of other women's children and not us. So my point is, I was that kid. So if you're a parent out there and it's reverse and you're listening to my story, why, don't do that to your kids.
And what about you? Did it make you want to be a better, different dad person?
You know, growing up, here's the situation. Growing up, it does, you know, you hear your mother crying, you hear family talking about what a bad person this person is. It doesn't faze you. You just want to see your parent.
Right.
You just, it doesn't matter what your mother, father does as a kid growing up. You don't want the stuff, and I'm sorry to all the, there's a lot of great step parents out there. Mm-hmm. I had a crappy one for a while. You just want your father. You want your mother, your father there to be a mother or father. And then when you become an adult like I am now, I never had the opportunity to tell him what a piece of you know what he was, because he ended up dying when I was 18.
Right, but did that fuel you to want to make sure that you were a better parent and a better father and to make sure you were there?
Oh, absolutely. Exactly. Because folks, here's the thing. You are, just because you're born into circumstances, just because you're born into a family or, again, circumstances, you are not predispositioned. You are not destined, and your destiny is not to be that way.
Right.
Your destiny is whatever it is you make it to be.
You make your own destiny.
Right.
You make your own luck.
No, your destiny and your future is in your hands. Mm-hmm. And I always had tunnel vision. I said, you know what? I'm never going to be like that piece of you know what.
You're going to be a criminal, a defense attorney.
Yeah, but
doing
the point
driver's
is
license restoration.
I just want to say, as that kid, you know, Dad, where were you? Why aren't you calling me? Why aren't you coming to my birthday parties? Why aren't you showing up at my football games? Why aren't you sending money so Mom can go grocery shopping? Don't you care? Why do you care more about, you know, those kids that I see you driving around with and that strange woman? Why do you spend money on those kids? I actually was in school once, saw my dad walk right by me to pick up his girlfriend's kids. How crazy is that? I remember as if it was yesterday. Look, here's the key, folks. Two things in order to get beyond all that. One, never feel sorry for yourself. I told myself, my mother told me at a young age, she said, son, do not feel sorry for yourself. Your destiny is in your hands. So one, do not feel sorry for yourself. And two, your future is whatever you want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't blame anyone for your past and don't compare yourself to other people because you have no idea what's going on in their household. Just because you see parents married and big fancy houses and cars, you have no idea what their troubles are.
It's true.
So don't feel sorry for yourself and don't compare yourself to other people. Your destiny is whatever you want it to be. But my point is, back to the original story, not to depress everybody. If you're a parent out there, be a freaking parent.
This is inspirational.
I'm being serious right now because we grew up that way. Just because I'm an attorney, people have no idea what your story is. We didn't grow up with no golden spoon. We grew up in a household with a single mother and a horrible stepfather for a while. My mother worked her tail off. She worked.
Yeah, never complained.
Never
anything. Took care of you.
Never. Yeah. So anyway, but we are a law show. I am attorney Todd L. Levitt. No regrets.
Good.
Not feeling sorry for myself.
All right.
And I'm trying to spread love, information, and joy.
And we will do that after this break.
Huge show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with David Bowie. Let's dance.
Let's dance.
Put on your red shoes and dance the blues. Do, 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 do. Let's dance to the sound of the rain on the radio.
Yeah, that's close enough.
I don't know. You know what I'm really hooked on right now?
What's that?
Okay, you ready for this?
I'm ready for this.
Dean Martin.
Really?
Sway.
Only you have the magic technique. When we sway, I go weak.
Really? Have you ever heard of Dean Martin, Sway.
I've heard of Dean Martin, rather.
But the song Sway, you know, it just takes me back to a time gone by.
Did you know last week Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin's old partner?
Well, that's made me think of Dean Martin. I started looking things up on YouTube.
I got you.
And Sway.
Do you do that too? Whenever somebody dies or something jars my memory, it makes me look up stuff on YouTube and I find a whole bunch. Then I go off into whole different other things and find other crap that I didn't know anything about.
Well, I have to, an acknowledgement here.
Okay.
HBO released episode 6 of the Game of Thrones.
Right.
Like a week or so ago in Spain.
Uh-huh.
So I just want to acknowledge that. Okay. I'm not saying anything other than that. It aired last a week ago today.
You're just acknowledging that.
I'm just going to say that.
I understand that.
Hey, we are a law show. We have a lot of law to get to. So the kids are going back. The young kids are back at Central.
It is the back
People
to
are moving
school.
In the state. There's parents listening to the show.
Back to school edition.
We're going
to
talk about a lot of things right now.
I'm going to tell you two things. First place, this time of year makes me nostalgic for two reasons. First place, today is the championship game of the Little League World Series. I played Little League all through middle school, part of high school. Loved that time. Was pretty good. Always this time
you
of
look
year.
Very athletic.
No, I'm not really. Yeah. But I was back then.
I'd like to have a Field of Dreams moment after the show with you, by the way.
That would be awesome.
Am I older than you?
You are older than
Okay, so then it'll be for you, not me.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
But anyway, so that's this is nostalgic. But this is also move-in weekend at Central, and I went to Central, you went to Central, fire up chips. And it always makes me think about, you know, I lived in the dorms for a year. How long did you live in the dorms?
A year.
I lived in 1 year.
Towers.
I lived in Wold Emmons, and then moved off campus to a horrible apartment complex, which if I would have known you and you would have been a lawyer, I would have had you sue them. You know why.
I was a SIGEP. I still am a SIGEP. Banned for life from CMU. The SIGEPs are banned for life.
Nothing about that.
How
statement.
Do you ban a fraternity
have you
for
seen,
life?
Have you seen you? If every one of them are like you, it makes complete sense. Anyway, but I always start to think back at this time of year and think about, especially at the towers, there's been a couple of times where kids have broken through windows and fallen and killed themselves and things like that because they don't handle alcohol. Because, you know, we're talking about freshmen. We're talking about kids who probably never have been away from home and don't have opportunities. So let's start talking about that right off the bat. Alcohol, marijuana in the dorms. What are the rules?
Okay. Now, it varies at each university. This is pretty consistent with, we looked it up, the different university policies.
Right.
But let's talk about Central.
Okay.
And again, it's similar in other schools. But again, let's review. Michigan state law. The law in the state of Michigan prohibits the possession or consumption of alcohol by anyone under the age of 21.
That's just
so
hard and
straight
fast.
Across the board.
No, so no the gray
question,
area.
The question is, though, can you have, if you're 21 or older and you reside in a dorm, you're a resident hall director, or you're just a non-traditional student by a few years. At Central Michigan, a resident who is 21 or older may possess alcohol and drink responsibly in his or her room at any time. So there's your answer. At Central Michigan, 21 and older, in your own room, you can possess alcohol. But here's the thing. If you're 21 and older and you take the alcohol out of your room into a dorm room where there's under 21 individuals there, now you're violating university policy.
Right.
Okay. And everybody in that room, unfortunately, everyone in the room, whether they're consuming or not,
is in trouble.
Could get in trouble. Not under Michigan law necessarily based on the facts of the case, but if you invite a guest who's over 21 to a dorm room, and again, they're under 21 years of age, no alcohol.
You're just asking for trouble, ultimately. If you are a 21-year-old and you live in the dorms, and there's a bunch of 19 and 21, 20-year-olds, you're asking for trouble.
And no alcohol, which is open, which is mean the seal is broke, is allowed at any time in any public area of a residence hall by residents or their guest. So, obviously, anyone under 21, you cannot possess alcohol. And if you are over 21, you have to keep it in your dorm room outside the reach of 21 and unders.
And now you know probably one of the, I would say probably one of the top three reasons most kids live on campus for 1 year and then move off campus for those kind of reasons. Because it's much harder in a private apartment building. You got four bedrooms. Who's going to, you know, how can you?
What you're saying is students are anxious to move out of the dorm to have more privacy.
And more freedom.
But we don't want to recommend that having that privacy, you should still break the law and consume alcohol. I mean, exactly. We know what goes on out there. Now, in the state of Michigan, January of 2018, your first MIP will become a civil infraction.
Wow.
Right now, it's a misdemeanor.
Okay.
It's going to become a civil infraction.
Which is worse or than a misdemeanor, well, or if you, not worse?
If you're listening to the show and someone you know was charged with a MIP right now, minor possession consumption of alcohol, typically for your first offense, the court is going to offer, well, the prosecutor will offer, and may, the court will also, what's called a deferral.
Okay.
A delay, a deferral, so that you plead guilty if you are guilty and it doesn't go on your record. Now, you don't have to, like, there's students out there who walk around with camelbacks, with jugs, with all types of apparatuses with alcohol in it.
Right.
You don't have to be drinking it. And if an officer approaches you, he or she observes that your eyes are glossy, there's alcohol illuminating from your breath, and you're stumbling, even if you don't have the alcohol on your person, those are signs of intoxications. That's enough justifiable cause and probable cause to ask you to submit to a PBT. An officer is not allowed, according to the Michigan Court of Appeals, and that case came out of Central Michigan in the 90s. You cannot walk up to someone and just say, hey, here, take a PBT. You have to have justifiable cause.
Right, exactly.
But typically, it's there.
But as the acronym for MIP, minor in possession, you don't have to necessarily be drinking it, but possession. Now, as we all know, some of the laws and some of the attitudes about marijuana in this state and in this country at this time have become more lax than what they used to be. What are the rules on marijuana?
Okay. Once again, free our people from the constraints of Schedule 1, Act of 1971, Controlled Substance Act. A student, and this is most campuses, but let's talk about Central,
right,
shall not possess, use, manufacture, produce, or distribute, or aid in the use, manufacture, production, or distribution of any controlled substance, here we go, except as expressly permitted by law and university policy. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
On the one hand, it says a student shall not possess any controlled substance except as expressly permitted by law. Now, in the state of Michigan, we have the Medical Marijuana Act.
Correct.
So if you're a cardholder, the question is, can you smoke and possess cannabis in your dorm room? At CMU, no. Because Central Michigan takes the position of the federal government that university of policy is consistent with federal law under the Controlled Substances Act of 1971. Once again, using the federal government to suppress our people.
Now, what do you think?
I'm just saying.
I know. Now I'm gonna take a curveball here for a second. Take a left
so
turn.
You have medicine. It's prescribed. Well, it's not really prescribed. You get an application from a medical doctor, but it's still considered medicine. And a lot of these students need it. I mean, would you rather have them, you know, strung out on Adderall, on Xanax, and all these other drugs that is just going to create more problems?
Now,
no.
Let's back up a second. So what happens then if, let's say, a student has a medical marijuana card and they still get caught with cannabis in their dorm room? What happens?
So what the type of cases I handle as a criminal defense attorney, as a college lawyer, I handle a lot of cases where students are caught smoking in the dorm. The RA will walk up and down the hallway,
sure,
smell marijuana coming from the room, or if the student is on a first floor and it's going out the window, because a lot of times the students will open the windows.
Sure.
And there'll be the RA will notify someone, the officer will go stand outside the window. Well, now they're getting into your dorm room. You're going to be charged with possession of marijuana, which carries up to a year, license sanctions, community service, other penalties and sanctions. In the state of Michigan, if it's your first offense and you're caught with possession in a dorm and you're charged with possession, you could become eligible for MCL 333.7411, otherwise known as 7411. And after a successful term of probation, it's a non-conviction. So for purposes of employment, applications, job interviews, if you were charged with possession, you obtained 7411, you satisfied probation, and then down the road, you could say, no, I've never been convicted.
Right.
Now, there will always be a record of it because you can only use 7411 once in a lifetime.
Okay.
Now, there's other laws, Holmes Youthful Training Act, HYTA, which is a sort of a catch-all law, and we'll get to that later in the show, that you can use between the age of 17 and 24.
Okay.
But if you're 21 and over, it has to be at the prosecutor's discretion.
So now,
possession, 7411, MIP, the deferral statute or a delay in the state of Michigan, depending upon how the court refers to it as.
So, and I'm not saying that anybody should do this, but if you were going to get caught doing something wrong at college, probably the marijuana thing is probably the least possible bad outcome could happen. It's kind of like the low level. You know?
I think it's wrong that universities do not allow patients and cardholders to possess their medicine on campus. That's just wrong.
Now, what happens as
the state takes money, the university takes money from the state government.
And most
we pay taxes.
State, yeah, these are state schools.
We pay taxes. Those people work for us.
If you have a private, if you go to a private college, say an Alma College or something like that, it might be a different story, but a state-sponsored university, Central Michigan being one of them. Now, we have to go take a break, but when we come back, I'm going to ask you a question about recreation and firearms in the dorms. We'll ask that after the break, okay?
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting once again in the middle of the Mitten, Craig Russell, in a beautiful green nutrient field. It looks terrific here on the mothership.
Oh, it is. The weather's been fantastic. The green is as bright green as, say, maybe the eclipse was shining on it or something.
This is a great, we have a back to college show taking place.
Yes.
But if you're a parent or a student and you just happen to be listening to the show, we do broadcast each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. on 98.5 WUPS.
And on 95.5 and Rock 105 out of Traverse City in Sheboygan. We just rock.
Nonstop.
That's right. Now I have
But if you miss any portion of the show, you can catch us where?
Podcast. We do Podbean and Google Play.
iTunes.
SoundCloud. iTunes.
Radio FM.
There you go.
Radio Big FM. Shout out to Mike from Georgia to listen to the show.
That's right.
Thanks for listening, Mike from Georgia.
Now, mind you, this is the back to school, and we're mostly talking about back to school Michigan area, but this probably covers a lot of other states too. You want to check the laws in your area about the kind of restrictions in your dorms and your colleges in your area, but I imagine it's probably pretty similar.
Yeah, and as a lawyer who is based in Mount Pleasant, I do represent a lot of Central students, Northwood, Ferris.
Right.
Go Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Alma.
Uh-huh.
I go down to state.
Yep.
And I go all the way north to the UP.
And NMC, just getting new kids back this year. Now, here's a question for you. We've talked about in the show many times about marijuana becoming recreational in 2018. What happens if that happens?
So the school may adopt the same policy as it has with alcohol. If at Central Michigan University, if you're 21 and over in a dorm, you can possess alcohol in your dorm room.
But it's pretty restricted how you can do that.
Exactly. So I'm
hoping
that
the lock
same,
the door and sit in by yourself or with other people over 21.
I'm hoping it goes the same way with cannabis. But, you know, the problem at the university level is not cannabis. It's alcohol.
Right.
It's Xanax and Adderall. These doctors are prescribing Adderall like it's bubble gum, and the students are coming to college and they're handing it off to each other. And I got news for you. If you're a parent out there, tell your young adult that if he or she has a script for Adderall, if I take an Adderall pill for my script and hand it to you, Craig, that's a 4-year felony right there.
That's-
that delivery is a 4-year felony under the statute. It carries up to 4 years. It doesn't mean you're going to go to prison, but we're talking,
but
you're
going to
be delivery of a controlled substance. You cannot share your Adderall. Folks, you cannot share prescriptions, period.
Please tell your kids about that, and please, because they are looking for it. There are the police, plus the university, they are watching for that kind of stuff.
And typically what happens is, in the dorm rooms and in apartments, law enforcement is called there for nuisance party complaints or, unfortunately, domestic violence, or there's a brawl, someone broke in. Typically, an officer is at a residence for a reason other than looking for Adderall, Xanax, and other more serious drugs, and then they come upon them. Because once they're in your dorm room or apartment with consent and probable cause, the plain view doctrine comes into effect. Warrantless searches, we've done shows on that. That's how people get caught. I get calls all the time from men and women who are caught with controlled substances and in their own homes. And I'll always ask, and I already know the answer, why were the officers there in the first place? Usually somebody calls or a neighbor calls, they show up, and now they're caught.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about firearms on campus and in the dorm rooms. What are the legal ramifications of having a firearm on campus?
Okay. We're big Second Amendment people.
Mm-hmm.
I might take some flack for this. I'm all for possessing a concealed pistol on campus, period.
If you've got a license, you've got your permit,
period.
You're ready to go.
The people who have the CPLs,
okay,
are responsible. They are trained for the most part because they have to go through a training program in Michigan and other places. I would feel more secure in today's age knowing that there were my fellow students, if not myself, exercising my Second Amendment rights. Although the state of Michigan feels otherwise and has enacted a concealed carry law that prohibits carrying a concealed pistol into a dormitory, residence hall, or classroom, or a university. So in Michigan, it's still no.
When was that law enacted? Do you know?
It's been there for a while.
Okay.
A long time.
So the gun laws in the state have changed around that.
What about if you're a hunter, though? A lot of students, when I came to school, I wanted to go hunting.
Yeah, but you need to keep a rifle in your dorm room?
No, you contact the university, and the university will assist you in storing these weapons, potentially, depending upon what university you go to.
Okay.
So the bottom line is, at least at Central, students shall not possess or use firearms, explosives, dangerous chemicals, weapons, knives with blades longer than 3 inches, hunting knives, fixed blade knives, switchblades. And there's other devices also, may not be stored in a university resident halls.
And
stun guns and tasers are also prohibited, by
right.
the way.
Can I tell you a little, can I deviate for a half a second? I'm going to tell you a little story. I don't like to fly.
I hate flying.
You know why I don't like to fly?
Why?
Because I'm not in control of the plane.
I'm with you.
As much as I believe that someone who's flown 37 different, plane, I'm not in control of it. I have, you're putting your life in somebody else's hands. Totally is. I enjoy driving way more because even if I get in an accident or I do something happens, it's because of me and I'm on it and I trust that I know how to do it. That is where I would have a problem with storing a gun in a dorm room or having somebody. It's not the person who's trained to have the gun. It's somebody else who isn't, who grabs it. Who grabs that out of a closet? The same reason.
Okay, but that argument can take place anywhere on any day of the week,
exactly.
In any setting.
But I'm just saying
that's the opposing argument there.
But the only thing
you're entitled to your opinion.
That is my opinion. I'm more concerned about 3-4 college kids getting drunk in a dorm or getting drunk in an apartment. One of them finds the gun who was not trained, doesn't have any clue how to use it, and just starts waving around. That's the problem. That would be my concern.
But here's the thing. If you're a CPL holder, you're responsible for the most part.
Okay.
Just as if you have children in your home.
Exactly.
Almost everyone I know, I'm not saying everyone, but everyone I know who are gun owners are responsible. They have safes. They're stored. There's safety. There's locks. If we were allowed as students to carry concealed weapons on campus, a pistol, there would have to be procedures in place that you have a locked, contained safe where to put that weapon. And I feel that these gun owners, as myself, and you're a Second Amendment guy, there would be responsible people out there. Now, would something slip through the crack? Of course it would. But that doesn't mean that you then have to ban everything.
I understand that. I just think here's where I think part of the problem is. You have a bunch of kids going down to all of a sudden there's a fight. Somebody's got a concealed weapon on them and it falls out, or they're maybe had a little bit.
So let me ask you a question. You don't think right now that in all these college campuses across this country that there are not students who are legally carrying in their apartments, stored where these parties are at. Sure. How many times do you hear a story where, I mean, you do hear stories. There are accidents.
And there are not many.
And we are very, and I have known people throughout the years in our own communities whose children, unfortunately, were the victims of these accidents. But there already are students across the country every year, year in, year out. And very rarely do you hear of anything. What you hear is some crazy person walking on a campus where there's no guns allowed and just taking pot shots at students. I'd feel a lot better knowing that there was an AR somewhere stored and that you could be protected. But look, I don't want to get to the extreme here.
Yeah, I know.
Law enforcement does a great job. Central Michigan University, by the way, great, great chief, great and the police officers, the men and women do a great job here at Central Michigan University.
Right.
You know, big shout out to all the men and women in law enforcement. This was welcome back weekend, by the way.
Yes, it is.
And I just want to say that, you know, law enforcement did a great job. I mean, they're there to keep our children safe.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I used to work at a bar for years. And in the beginning of the night, everybody would arrive. And there were thousands of people. It was a state theater downtown Detroit.
Oh, okay.
It was called Clubland.
Okay.
I was in law school, Detroit College of Law. Thursday through Saturday, I was working as a manager at Clubland.
Okay.
Four-story bar.
Right.
A couple thousand people showing up sober. At the end of the night, we all had to get together and make a line and start pushing everybody out.
Right.
Okay. Now, maybe there was a dozen drunk individuals who gave us a hard time. Can you imagine being on one of these law enforcement forces dealing with 5,000 drunk people in a college town?
Yeah.
We just want people to be safe. By the way, if you do have a firearm used for hunting, make sure you register it with CMU police or contact your university police department and find out what their policy is.
That's true. Yeah, because it could be different in some places.
Oh, it's probably different in multiple places.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what the takeaway from this whole show is. If you're even in Michigan, make sure you check with your students, the university or with the police, or if you're on campus, make sure you check with the authorities there in your area and at your school to find out what their rules and regulations are, because that might be different than what we're talking about. And you've got to know that stuff. That's part about being a responsible young adult. If you're going to be living on campus and you're going to be an adult and you're going to be on your own for the first time, you got to take action. You've got to be responsible yourself.
You know where the danger is for a lot of young folks, not just the Adderall and the Xanax combining it with alcohol, but it's the young men and women who leave home for the first time.
Yep.
And let's say they tried alcohol or drank a little bit in high school. Now they come to college, whichever college they're at, and they just see all these other people consuming alcohol, and then they drink way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, God forbid,
that's where problems
exist. Either they are, you know, out exposed to weather, or they could, you know, asphyxiate themselves from vomit. There's so many different ways. You know, when I came to Central when I was 18, I was in a fraternity. I'm just going to say this as I always do. And back then, you know, 83, there were drinking games that took place back then. And I actually refused to participate in one where somebody wanted us to drink 150 proof. I said, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no.
Just say no.
Yeah, you got to be
smart. You could say no.
You got to be smart.
Yeah,
exactly.
There you
and of
go.
Course, nowadays, you know, I remember I was at the very tail end of the world parties at Central.
Oh, I was at the end of the world parties.
And those don't happen anymore. No. And there's a lot, you know, of course, social mores have changed. Things have changed. And some stuff is not as acceptable as it used to be, like with everything. But you got to be in control of yourself.
Look out for each other.
That's right.
Here's the other thing. End of the world parties. If you have no idea what we're talking about, at Central Michigan University, I got here in 83, so I think they ended in 85. 10,000 people would show up from the business school all the way downtown. People were on rooftops, on Main Street. Yeah. My favorite thing about the end of the world party was watching some guy drive down Main Street in a truck. I don't want to glorify this, but you saw so much stuff being thrown. I had never seen that before growing up outside Detroit.
I know. And think about people who aren't from
Detroit. I mean,
you
know how many bottles were being thrown?
Yeah. It's crazy.
Very dangerous, by the way.
Crazy.
And we have to go to break.
Yes.
When we come back, we're going to come back with David Bowie.
For starters.
Let's Dance.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to Dean Martin Sway during the break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. If you're just tuning in for the first time, I am Mount Pleasant, Michigan, criminal defense attorney Todd L. Levitt. Born in the D, by the way, Berkeley High Class 83, Central Michigan 1988, Detroit College of Law 1992, which became Michigan State Law School. I'm an MSU alum by default, but I'm a big chip, and I love Michigan, although I do say go green, go white. I do practice from the top of the UP all the way south to East Lansing.
That's right. And your phone number, so people know.
Oh, 989-772-6000.
Yeah, maybe, let's just say maybe, over the weekend, you've got a call from your student and things are not good.
Or you're bonding them out of jail right now. That's listening to the right show, or you're on your way up.
That's right. Yep, you got to come and make a trip up. Todd's the guy to call.
Yeah, you can talk to Jackie Starr.
Okay.
Jackie does a great job. Or Jennifer Woodruff.
Okay.
Otherwise known as Jennifer Arndt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either one of them.
Big shout out to the Arndt family up there in Prescott. The Wakely family. Love the Wakelys. Todd Wakely, one of my best friends up there in Grayling.
Right on.
Big shout out. Shameless plugs right now. Anybody want to give a shameless plug to?
Me personally? No, I'm good. I should give a shameless plug out to the fine folks at Thalen Chrysler who sold me a new car last week.
There you go.
That's right on.
You know what my dad used to tell me?
What'd your dad used to tell
me? Absolutely nothing. He left when I was one. I'm just saying.
That's a great line.
I'm just saying.
I know you're not necessarily
kidding. As my father used to say,
nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
So see when somebody,
not even happy birthday.
See, when somebody says to you, so Todd, do you have an opinion on that? And you're thinking, I don't have an opinion on this. I just want you to shut up.
But you know,
you can use that line.
Growing up in a neighborhood back when I was growing up, we were one of the few divorced families in this very big neighborhood where everybody lived on top of each other.
Right.
You know, it was always uncomfortable when people would ask you, you know, where's your father or what does he do for work? You know, you just end up.
See, I see you being blunt as all out and going, he left us. Okay, leave me alone.
Oh, I probably, and I'm not going to repeat or tell you what I would say. No, but you know, you say, look,
say
it's just an uncomfortable situation when you're a kid playing sports. And I was pretty damn good at sports. I'm just going to say that, you know, but my mother was always there.
Hey, by the way, you know, speaking of sports, and this is our back to school edition.
Yeah, we got some law to get to.
Yeah, well, I'm going to bring up something here. Hey, if you're a football player and let's say you're caught with alcohol in the dorms, what's going to happen to you? Because you're a football player.
Well, the athletic department has their own, okay, you have university policies and procedures. And whichever university your student attends, each university online has all this information.
Right.
And the students, through orientation, have to read, sign, and acknowledge that they've been instructed and have read and understand the university policies.
Yep.
I feel it's like signing a lease. Nobody really reads it.
But you still signed it.
But
anyway,
you acknowledge that you signed and understand the policies and procedures. Now, I've represented a lot of athletes over the years.
Okay.
And the university, again, you're still affected by the university policies, but then these athletic departments, depending on the universities, have their own policies. And then each individual team, football, soccer, basketball, baseball, field hockey, swim, whichever university you attend, the coaches then have their own policies.
Now, what have you found in your dealings with that, with athletes? Do you find that the team policies and the athletic department policies are even stricter than the university's policies or more lax?
It depends on who the coach is at that given time.
Okay.
But the other thing is, if you do violate one of these university policies, you're going to be called in to student life or whatever your university where you attend calls it to face the charge, the violation.
Yep.
Now, here's the issue. The university says that you have constitutional rights, all these universities.
Sure.
But you really don't. Because the universities, the federal courts, have given the universities this broad powers where your right to due process doesn't exist as it does in the real world, because a university will call you in and have you confess to something before you've even had your day in court. And they'll threaten to suspend you from the university. Mm-hmm. They'll threaten to do all kinds of things to you unless you make a written confession. Now, these universities, I'm not being specific, will allow you to defend yourself.
Right.
You cannot have lawyers. They don't allow you to have lawyers at these, at least Central doesn't. You can have somebody that sits next to you and a lawyer can be that person, but they can't act as a lawyer. And
truthfully, in my experience, if a university doesn't want a student at that university, they're going to boot you, even if you're found innocent in the court of law. I've had students whereby I have proven that the prosecutor cannot prove beyond a reasonable doubt the charges they were charged with, and there's the case doesn't go anywhere. The universities will see it differently, and I think that's absolutely wrong. Wrong. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I'm hearing what you're
saying. And those people out there, they know who they are. These people think they feel like they have so much power over these students who are paying their salaries. They're not lawyers, they're not judges, but a lot of these individuals at these universities act in that capacity. And they have no legal education, no background, and they pass down judgment on these students and potentially could ruin their careers. Now, some students go way overboard, and I understand that. Mm-hmm. But most of the cases I've seen where students have to make these written confessions before I've had an opportunity as an attorney to have their case heard in court, that confession can be used against them in a court of law.
Sure it can.
So as far as the university is concerned, they take money from the state, federal government, but then they violate your constitutional rights all over the place. I'm going to say that. I'm going on record because I'm sick and tired of it.
Well, but I'll say this.
I'm just going
to
say that.
I'm going to say something to the other side of that.
What's that?
Here's the other side of that.
There is no other side. I'm right.
Yeah. Well, okay.
No, I am right.
These state universities take money from the federal government, but they can turn around and lose that money if they don't keep a tight ship.
Colleges all over the state, especially CMU,
right?
Enrollment's down.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you why enrollment's down, okay? Enrollment is down because these students are coming from all over the state, Metro Detroit, for years. They're coming up here, and they're just gathering on their porches. And if you gather on your porch and there's five or more individuals, you could be arrested and given a ticket for a nuisance party attending and or hosting. There's so many students who have received MIPs, nuisance party tickets, attending nuisance parties. I'm from Metro Detroit. Word has gotten out to the parents. Students don't want to come to certain schools anymore because you're sending your kid off to college. He or she is just walking down the block, steps onto a porch, not knowing anybody. The police show up. The police are just doing their job, by the way.
Sure.
I am not knocking law enforcement. Law enforcement is just doing what the law tells them they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not a knock on law enforcement.
I know.
But it's a knock on the city commissioners and the men and women at the state capitol who are, you know, passing these laws and whatnot. Students don't want to go to school and end up in jail just for hanging out. It's ridiculous. So CMU, and I love Central, fire up Chips. We love everything about Central.
Mm-hmm.
We back Central.
Fire up Chips.
But enrollment's down because students are tired and their friends of getting arrested when they come here to visit their friends. Word has gotten out, and that's a fact.
I'm going to probably make an argument that there might be a different reason why.
No, that's why.
That's the only reason.
No, listen, I am tapped into what goes on all over the state. I represent these students. Word has gotten out. Do not go to Central. If you stand at a porch in front of a house, you don't know anybody, you're gonna get a ticket, end up with a misdemeanor or an MIP. It's not like it used to be in the 80s when you and I were hanging out. Look, you and I hung out at Central in the 80s, right?
Sure.
We partied. Statute of limitations has told. We were under 21 drinking, right?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
That's beside the point.
I'll just go on a record.
Okay.
I don't care. It's told.
All right.
They didn't enforce the laws as they do today, and we're just fine. We're on the radio.
But on the other hand of all of this, Todd, here's what I'm going to throw out to you. On the other hand of all this, if I was in school today, if I was 18 years old and getting ready to go to school, I probably wouldn't come to Central today.
Why not?
Because I was able to afford it back in the 80s. I couldn't afford it now. My parents couldn't afford it now. My mom had to take out loans for 2 years for me to go to college, which is why when I got a job, I said, I can't keep making you take out this kind of money on this when I can go get a job and do what I want to do. I probably would find either a community college or I would go find a cheaper alternative. And that was me coming from Kalamazoo, from Western. So I've got to imagine Wayne State University, Oakland University, St. Clair Community College, a lot of other places, enrollment is up because the cost of going to college is so expensive these days. And we know the story all over. Wages aren't keeping up with inflation. It costs a lot more money. I don't deny what you're saying, that sometimes possibly a university gets a bad rap because of the town it's in. But I think there's other reasons, the cost being one of them.
Let me just say this for the record.
Might be down.
Okay, I agree with what you're saying. I love the city of Mount Pleasant.
Right.
I love Central Michigan. I love CMU. I try to recruit for Central as often, as much as I can. I go on vacation. I'm always wearing a flying C. I freaking love Central.
Same here.
But the fact of the matter is, I represent a lot of college students. I talk to the parents who, you know, get that phone call that their 18-year-old freshman got arrested for standing on a porch for just being at a party, coming to this town not knowing there's this nuisance party ordinance in place where you could be arrested for it.
See, look what kind of a good public service you're doing right now. You're telling people who might not know about that ordinance about that ordinance, because I'm sure there's not.
The parents are shocked.
Not going through orientation.
The parents are shocked. Now, again, in fairness to law enforcement, they're just doing their job.
Sure.
The law enforcement officers aren't just going out there randomly, you know, doing
they're
things.
They're enforcing the law.
They're enforcing the ordinances and the laws as they should.
Yep.
And they do a great job.
Yes.
But, you know, on the flip coin, we were all young ones. I mean, nuisance parties, are you kidding me? We used to have 30 keg parties back in the 80s, and they were allowed. Mm-hmm. And we're fine. All my fraternity brothers are doing just fine right now. Here's my point. I'm not saying that laws should not be enforced. And here's the other thing.
Okay.
People do become a danger to themselves and to others. And so those individuals need to be detained and put in an environment where they're safe, because we don't want anything to happen to those people. Point being is, people don't want to come to certain universities anymore because they don't want to send their kids there just to get arrested.
Why were the SIGEPs banned from Central?
Not going to go there.
That's what I thought.
You know what's a shame?
There's
thousands of SIGEP alum that went to Central that are worth a lot of money as a group.
Sure.
Central Michigan has lost out on so much money they could have raised from the members of my fraternity had they let us back on campus. I mean, we're in our 50s. What harm is it to bring a SIGEP chapter back to CMU? Absolutely nothing. You know how many fraternities have come and gone and were allowed back on campus? But for some reason, they're not allowing the SIGEPs back on. And it's just wrong.
What was the fraternity in Animal House? The Delta Chi?
I don't know, but I love Animal House.
Animal House. That's what we should have played today.
I'm not saying that there were things that happened. There are times, and I'll go on the record and say, even our fraternity, the university was correct in suspending our fraternity. Suspending. Not revoking the charter altogether indefinitely for eternity. I mean, Eclipse will come and go. There will not be a SIGEP chapter at Central Michigan University, which is a shame because, you know, the parents want to send their kids to become SIGEPs. They want to make donations to the university. I don't know any SIGEPs, and there's hundreds of us, thousands, that will donate to this university because they won't let our chapter back on. Hey, am I speaking directly to the university?
I know.
What do you think?
I think you are. Hey, you know what?
I'm just saying. It's been a great show.
It has been a great show, but it is over. But one thing we should be definitely clear about, if for some reason you are a student in a college and you can hear this, or you have a student, you're a parent of a student, and some kind of legal issue happens and you need help, the man right across from me, the other microphone, is the guy to talk to.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. 989-722-6000.
No, 989-772-6000. Talk to Jackie or Jennifer. And look, we love helping students. And we love Central. We love MSU, Michigan. We love all the universities. And I do want, you know, students to continue to come to Central because I just love the flying scene. I love everything that CMU stands for.
That's right.
And fire up Chip's first football game coming up.
Thursday night.
That's Michigan.
I know. Well, this will be, here's the real theme song. There you go.
Hey, let's just dance on the way out of here.
There you go.
David Bowie, I'm not just a litigator. Take us out. Craig Russell in the Morning Hustle. David Bowie, I'm an advocate. We'll see you next week.
The Todd L. Levitt Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malley Well Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder of Mount Pleasant, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs, Happy Hydro in Gaylord and Petoskey, where the happy people go to grow, and Clear Vision Windows, Siding, Roofing, and Attic Insulation of Midland, offering free estimates and easy financing.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.